Good morning. So what are we doing sitting around doing nothing? Minute after minute, month after month, year after year. Most of you have probably heard that quip from your friends now and again. Like, are you still doing that meditation thing that you used to do? Something like that. And it is a very interesting path. And as we know from sitting, it takes a while to go through the kind of ups and downs that we have. We have periods when we sit easily and things seem to come naturally, and we have other times when there's a lot of resistance. So the path goes kind of up and down over the years. And it often takes a long time for those habitual tendencies to unloosen, those ways that we kind of ordinary, the way that ordinary kind of life activities impress on us. But I want to talk about one of the first insights that we have when we first starting sitting. And it comes up a lot of different ways, but we see that when we look at our mind seems to have a mind of its own, and it doesn't always do what we want or what we expect or what we hope. And it comes out different ways. When we teach fundamentals class, sometimes, most of the time we have people that have sat at least for a little while, but every once in a while there's a few people that come in that have never sat before. And the very first check-in can be something like this: I never realized my mind was so busy. Or it'll come a different way. It'll say something like, boy, I sat and then all of a sudden my mind took off. And you know, we know that the fact is our mind's always doing that. Not always, but often doing that. And when we sit, all of a sudden we see, oh my gosh, look at what my mind is doing. So we sit, we hear a sound outdoors, a car, and then we think about, what was that car that I drove to the senior prom? And then who was the date that I went with? And you know, on and on and on and on. And then 10 minutes later, what am I doing here? You know, that's one of the things that can happen. Just one. So there's a teacher called Stephen Cope who calls it the first Dharma failure. When you try to control your mind and it doesn't do what you want it to do. And other teachers call it the first Dharma insight. And we start to see, how does the mind actually work? What does it actually do? So what we're seeing for the first time is what our mind is really like. We're seeing the way that it makes these speedy associations, mostly underneath our consciousness. It just goes from thing to thing to thing. And those speedy associations are helpful for our survival. If you're walking on a path and you see a long, dark object, it's really helpful to know, is it a stick or a snake, very quickly. So it does have a survival aspect to it. And when we talk about mind like this, I want to interject one more thing. We often sort of, and I feel it in myself as I talk in this manner, you feel like, oh God, the mind is such a big problem. We need to remember too, the mind is a fine instrument, and it's a beautiful instrument, and it's what's fundamental to being human is about. So good to keep that in mind. And one teaching has often said that the mind is a poor master, but a wonderful servant. And it reflects a little bit of the relationship that is helpful. And when our mind is in service to our true nature, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful instrument, you know, one of the most refined instruments that there is. So what causes our mind to be, quote, so busy? And it can be a lot of different things. The habitual energy of this, you know, wondering if it's a snake around us all the time can be part of it. And another way of saying that is trying to control what's out there, trying to make sure that everything that comes our way isn't going to bother us. So it goes hand in glove with the egoic tendency of trying to control the world, trying to control the outside circumstances. And that brings us right back to the second noble truth, which we all know well, which is that our tendency is to try to object to what's out there and want things to be different. And when we want something to be different than it is, it causes us additional suffering. And it gets worse once the mind starts to have opinions, as we know. You know, oh, it's too hot in here. Oh, it's too cold in here. Oh, I'm not doing this right. Oh, I should have done that report yesterday. You know, all these opinions start to come out. And there can sometimes be specific things that we are worried about. So what do we do with this? What do we do with it when we sit and our minds kind of go around in a circle? And the first thing is to notice that everything's okay. That there's nothing wrong here. You're not doing it wrong. Your mind's not doing it wrong. It's just doing what it's doing. And then there are some things that can be helpful, some cultivations that can be helpful. One is to, this phrase sometimes works for people, cultivate a soft and spacious mind. Now, that can also create another task to do. So some people don't, so when you hear that, sometimes it's like, oh, now I've got one more thing I have to do. So that's just one possibility. And sometimes we use a metaphor. Like if a horse is agitated and kicking in its stall, you don't come in and try and, you know, grab all of its four limbs and hold it down. What you do is you let the horse out into the corral, let it move out a little bit, run around a little bit, and it'll settle. So that's kind of a helpful metaphor sometimes for the mind. If we're clamping down on it, trying to get it to do something, chances are it'll just create more resistance. So that can be a way of thinking about it, giving it more space to be. Shunryu Suzuki says something else that I like to think of sometimes. He says, it's okay for the thoughts to come in the front door, but don't make them tea and leave the back door open so that they can leave. So sometimes that can be a helpful way of thinking of it. It's like, I like him anyway, but there's a way about his teaching, it's sort of simplistic, but there's an openness to it. And, you know, just relax, it's all right. There's that kind of orientation to it too. And our mind is busy because we have something we're genuinely, you know, concerned about. And one of the things that can be helpful in that circumstance is to recognize that there is some place in your body that is being triggered, and that place in your body is present in the moment. So you can make that your object of meditation. If you're worried about something and you feel flutter in your belly, you can just make that your object of meditation. Flutter in the belly. Just recognize that you're feeling fluttering in your belly. That brings you more to the moment than the repetitive motion of the mind. And sometimes we notice that we have resistance to wanting to feel those feelings. Be with that resistance. Let that resistance be present for you. And understand that that's all part of the process. So when we give space, when we give space to the mind and allow it to have a little bit of room, it can relax, it can settle, but it won't always. So it's always good to remember that in our practices we have days where we have different weather for our meditations. Sometimes it's busy, sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's in between, sometimes it'll go one way and then switch to another. But as our mind does settle, we can be more in contact with the object of our awareness. If it happens to be our breath, then we'll be more in contact with that. If it happens to be awareness itself, then we can be more in contact with that. Sometimes when I talk about this, I feel like there's no way out. And in a way, there is no way out, except just be with it, be with whatever's there, and let whatever's there be there, as long as it's going to be there. Because of course the other trap is, if now I'm going to relax so my mind will settle, is just another task that will be unhelpful. So I think it's good, though, to remember that even after years of practice, there will be good weather and bad weather along the way. And somehow, over time, things do start to unwind, and we become less identified with this small self that wants to control things and wants things to be a certain way. And then, whatever's happening in the moment is okay. The way it is, okay and complete. Thank you. So we have time for sharing and